This is Radiolab. I'm Jad.
I'm Robert.
Just drop them on the desk so we can feel the weighty massiveness of them. There you go.
Yeah.
And this is Alan Pearson,
conductor of the Brooklyn Philharmonic.
The Brook Phil?
The Brook Phil, yeah.
The B Phil?
B Phil. Anyhow, I called up Alan.
It's a lot of Beethoven
That's
symphonies.
That's a lot of Beethoven symphonies.
Because it turns out in those scores that he brought, there is this mystery that could completely transform how you feel about Beethoven, or at least how I have always felt about Beethoven, which is that I couldn't stand him.
Really?
Yeah.
Alan, too.
And I remember growing up and thinking, well, I'm a musician, I should love this, and I don't. Does that mean that maybe I'm a fraud? Am I a bad musician? Am I not really cut out for this?
You know, like you would hear the fifth, the one that everybody knows.
You know, those first measures are like, bum, 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 bum. Very, like, heavy, ponderous.
Suffocating.
No. Well, we can just put you into a meadow like nobody.
Yeah, a meadow with no oxygen.
That's no.
Whatever you think of Beethoven, it turns out that the Beethoven that you and I know, that we all know,
yeah,
may in fact not be the Beethoven that Beethoven wanted us to know. We may be hearing his music in a way he did not intend at all.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, let me just start the story where it really begins.
Please.
You kind of have to go back all the way to the invention of this.
So
That was like the sound of my childhood.
Yeah, right.
The metronome.
So Beethoven was one of the first composers to work with the metronome. And the metronome came out in 1817. So he would have been 47 when the metronome came out for the first time.
So the metronome was this new gizmo.
Right, it was a new gizmo. And the inventor of the metronome.
Was his last name actually Metronome? Like Bobby Metronome?
No, Mazel or Mazel.
Mazel.
I'm sure I'm saying it wrong.
However you say his name, in 1817, this dude, after he'd invented the metronome,
brought his metronome to Beethoven and said,
check it out.
I want you to use this. And Beethoven's first response was, no, 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 this is not the way music works.
But then, as was not uncommon for Mr. B,
it seems he changed his mind and got really excited about the idea of using the metronome to fix for eternity what the tempos for all of his pieces should be.
As in this piece, don't play it at this speed. Play it like this. Now, keep in mind, at this point, Beethoven was pretty much at the end of his career.
Of the 9 symphonies, by the time he'd gotten the metronome, he'd written 8 of them.
So what he did was he went back
and he marked in metronome markings for all of his symphonies.
And here's where the mystery really begins. Those tempo markings are fast, like really fast, like in some cases, obscenely fast.
You know, like, okay, take a piece like the 3rd symphony. For that piece, the first movement is marked at dotted half equals 60. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Which is almost impossible to play. Oh,
really
fast.
Who's
playing that fast?
Strings.
Alan got a couple string players together from the Brook and Phil to demonstrate just how hard it is to play the 3rd at Beethoven's tempo markings. Like this part coming up, check this out.
Wow.
Yeah, I stayed right with it.
That was great.
That was great.
Alan says when he tried to play that piece at that tempo with the entire orchestra,
I remember there was one rehearsal.
Only one.
Where we got it up to tempo.
But when you do get it up to that speed, it's a completely different piece.
Yeah.
And then take the 5th, which has been played as slow as this right here. Dun, 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 dun. This is 74 beats per minute. Beethoven actually marked it here at 108 beats per minute.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's just a different feel.
That's too fast.
Well, it is for a lot of people. And according to Alan, for the last couple hundred years, people have been arguing about these tempo markings.
You know, to what extent did, like, those markings that he put in 1817 really represent his actual intentions?
But both Alan and Matt think that we probably should just accept these accelerated tempos, you know, like with the 5th at 108. Just go with it.
Yeah, it's very possible that that's the speed he wanted. if that is the speed he wanted, it's a very interesting speed because it's a tempo almost designed to make us feel uncomfortable. It's almost designed to disorient us.
Beethoven was playing a kind of cat and mouse game that he intuited that there was some place, some point where we felt comfortable, where
every beat is coming exactly where we expect it to.
And it just feels right. And he never wanted his music to fall into that place. So if we like 92 beats per minute, he was going to push his tempos to 108. So it was just a little too fast. Every beat kind of coming a tiny bit too early.
So the piece is always, it's always just feels like it's running away from us in a very real psychological way.
And this fits with what we know about the guy. I mean, there are numerous anecdotes where he would push not just his audience, but his musicians, almost as if he wanted to hear them struggle.
When he was rehearsing his Ninth Symphony, those soloists walked out of rehearsal because he was pushing them beyond their limits.
That's Terrence McKnight, who hosts a classical music show on WQXR.
Maybe that's what those quick tempos were about.
About maybe pushing the musicians so they'd miss a few notes.
He didn't care about the notes.
So that the music was right on the edge.
You know, this is, you know, something's impending. This is danger. This is ferocious.
Not normally how we think of classical music.
We have a sort of ethos of perfection around classical music now that I think makes us maybe less willing to be on the edge.
Think of it this way, says Terrence.
You know, Beethoven was kind of an outsider.
Didn't come from privilege. He was a short, dark-skinned dude.
No, some people say that his grandmother was of African descent.
He probably stood out in 19th century Vienna.
Oh my God.
So you could say, here's this guy who's always on the outside, and he wants his music to always express that. But he can see into the future, to a time when his music would become
the canon.
The man.
Yes. Maybe that's not what he wanted. Mm. If you read it that way, these tempo markings are kind of liberating. It's like this message from 1817 saying, get me out of here. And interestingly, when I was talking with Alan, he sort of implied, without quite saying it outright, that one of the ways that you can keep orchestral music exciting in a time when it's not for a lot of people, is by just playing things faster. Have you ever done Beethoven faster than his markings?
No. I would. The fifth you could play faster. And that would be fascinating. I'd be very interested to hear the fifth. I've never heard it done.
You never heard it faster than 108?
I would think you could do 120-ish.
Yeah.
Wow.